Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy analyst and writer at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join me on the week one preview show is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how you doing?
Doing great. Ready for some football, man. How about you?
I'm super excited. I know like some people are like, well, you know, the draft is like Christmas. No. The draft is like when you like circle in the magazine like what presents you want from your parents. This is like Christmas. This is, you know, this is Christmas Day. Though I hate the Thursday games. I guess I'm okay with it the first week of the season and on Thanksgiving, but I hate in general. You'll hear me bitch and complain about this all season long if you're new to the podcast, but I can't stand the Thursday games personally, and I would prefer them all to just be on Sunday and Monday. So
why can't you stand them?
I feel like we get a different kind of football. I feel like, especially in season, I think for the first game it's fine because, you know, typically people don't play, or, you know, the starters don't play in the last week of the preseason. But I think it's really unfair to ask a team that played on Sunday to come back and play on Thursday. I just think it's, in, you know, we end up getting either these garbage, low-scoring games with lots of turnovers, or you get these games with, like, no defense whatsoever. So it ends up being, like, 33-30, and the last team who has the ball wins. And, you know, we see these just awful upsets that end up, you know, costing team playoff spots or seeding down the road. And I don't think it's fair to the players in general, much less I don't think we get as good of a product.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm a little bit selfish now because I actually have to work Thursday nights, so I definitely don't want any more Thursday night games because I like to sit down and watch every game. But yeah, the product of football, especially, you know, as we get into the week two through, you know, week 16 where someone has to play Sunday and then go back and play Thursday. Yeah, I think the product is definitely a little bit different. But to start off the season, it makes sense, especially for the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, I get it. But this isn't like a bad year to, I guess, you know, if you're the Super Bowl champs to be jumping into the first game. I mean, they're going to be missing some players here. They're missing Carson Wentz. They're going to be missing Alshon Jeffrey. I haven't even seen what the update for Ajayi looks like for this game, though. It sounds like he probably will play. But who knows if he's 100%. So kind of a crappy year for them to be jumping right back into a Thursday night game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they got a lot of injuries to sort through, but they got a pretty tough competition as well.
Yeah, they're not getting a cake team either. Let's jump in, and if you've never listened to us before, we don't cover every single thing from every single game. We tried doing that the first year, and the Friday preview shows ended up being 3 or 4 hours, and people just couldn't listen to all of that or didn't want to listen to all that because I wouldn't want to listen to myself talk. I don't want to listen to myself talk at all, but much less for 3 or 4 hours straight. So we'll each have some sort of discussion point, whether it be calling each other out on something or something we're looking forward to in the game, or you know, maybe if we have a sleeper or a bust type pick, what we can give that. So I'll let you lead it off. Atlanta Falcons at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 2.5. What do you got for this game?
Well, I think you already touched on the main concern is Jay Ajayi the big, you know, the big guy that they want him to be, especially starting off with this injury concern that he has. So the main question is going to be, what's this offense going to look like with Nick Foles? I mean, we saw a little bit of a glimmer of it in the playoffs last year and towards the end of the season as well. But with no Jeffrey, their two main guys are going to be Aguilar and Ertz. Do you have any concern with both of those guys coming into this game, or are you firing them up on all cylinders?
I think I'm definitely firing up Ertz. And I think, depending on the size of my league, I'm most likely firing up Aguilar because I think they're going to attempt to get the ball in his hands. He's going to be the playmaker on offense, you know, and they did a good job at the end of the season last year getting him the ball in like these short and intermediate routes, whether it be a bubble screen or a quick slant, things like that, where, you know, he didn't necessarily have to run these long routes because he's not always the best route runner. You know, just get the ball in his hand and let him make a play. So I think he'll be fine. I just don't like it in general for the Eagles because Nick Foles looked absolutely atrocious in preseason. And I know it's preseason, and there are some people who are like, well, you look so great in the playoffs. The playoffs were a long time ago. And, you know, guys, we saw with Case Keenum. Guys can get hot for, you know, a stretch. You know, these are the best, you know, football players in the world, no matter how good or bad they are in comparison to the rest of the league. So guys can get hot, and I don't think Nick Foles is going to be the same guy we saw at the end of the season in the playoffs last year. I think this is going to be an ugly start, and they're going to be wishing Wentz was ready now.
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely wish that Wentz was out there with them. For me, I'm actually going to fire up Ertz, like you said. I agree with you there. And then Aguilar, I have him in a couple 10-team leagues. I'm putting him in my flex. I feel pretty confident as a flex player. If he's going to be my wide receiver two, I'll be a little bit skeptical about that. But as a flex player, I mean, you can based on your settings, you can kind of put in, you know, someone that you think is going to get a lot of catches or someone that has a chance at a touchdown, something like that. But for me, I am nervous about it, especially because, you know, it's Nick Foles. We've seen the ups and downs of his career, but I'm going to fire him up just because there's really no one else besides Ertz to take away from him.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to throw the ball because that Falcons run defense is legit. Like, it's still very, very good. It was very good last year. So if they're going to compete in this game and Atlanta's going to put up points, they're going to have to be able to throw. So I have no problem starting Ertz or Aguilar. I'm not going to throw Mac Collins or Mike Wallace out there or even Dallas Goedert. I mean, just those guys, no. But the other receiving options I'm fine with. I'm interested to see if Calvin Ridley can take any attention away from Julio Jones on the offensive side of the ball for Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta has been looking for a receiver to pair with Jones that will attract any sort of attention away from him. Ridley hopefully eventually will be that guy. Wide receivers can take a while to adjust, but we saw flashes in the preseason, and he's going to see a lot of Jalen Mills, which is a nice matchup and a good barometer of what a rookie maybe can do in this league. He's a deeper league play, but like a guy maybe in like a DFS GPP that I might throw out there because I think he'll be extremely underowned and super cheap. So Ridley is a guy that I'm very interested to watch throughout this game.
Oh yeah, I love Ridley this year. I might be 1 year too early on him, but I do like the prospects of him being beside, you know, Julio Jones. They're going to have to cover Julio sometimes with two or three people, and the Eagles secondary might be, you know, their weakest link for now. So
it was last season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Matt Ryan, he's going to find a way. He's going to find the open receiver. He's not going to force it into Julio. He doesn't have to anymore with all the weapons that they have. The only problem is Mohamed Sanu is still there. So they have a rapport. They might be able to, you know, find each other on quick, you know, audibles or something like that. But, you know, Calvin Ridley is someone that I'm really interested in. And especially in dynasty formats, if he comes off on a slow start, I'm going after him, you know, in a trade if I can.
All right, so game one tonight is Atlanta at Philadelphia. Philadelphia is favored in this game, but barely. Who are you taking to win this game?
Atlanta, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's Atlanta, and I don't know that it's particularly close. So, all right, let's go ahead and move on to the next game and talk about the Steelers at the Browns. Obviously, the big news yesterday that broke is that his agent doesn't believe he's going to sign, or he may not sign. It's very convoluted, but he may not sign before week 10. So week 10 is the point in which, as long as he signs by then, he gets a full year's worth of credit. And if the Steelers try to franchise him again, the price goes through the roof. So let's just kind of briefly talk about that. What do you think the chances are Le'Veon Bell misses the first four games of the season?
I think four games is probably what I'm looking at. You know, optimistically, I'm hoping it's just like the first three or four games, and then he comes back and he's the Le'Veon Bell that we know and love, you know, for the rest of the season. But just the fact that that report's out there where he might not come back until week 10, it's very scary. For me, if I'm in a high money league or if I'm in a very important league, I'm wanting to put Bell out there and see what I can get for him and maybe just take the loss, unless I'm really comfortable with my other two running backs and I can stash him on the bench and, you know, make the playoffs without him and then have him be my rock for the rest of the playoffs. So, you know, if you picked up James Conner, great for you. Obviously, that's going to work out for the first game and possibly longer. So, you know, with Le'Veon Bell, I just hope he comes back because he's a joy to watch, and I don't like to see him not playing.
I don't think there's any chance he misses four games.
Really?
I think this is a complete bluff. I think what they're trying to do is they're not allowed to work out a long-term deal, but they are allowed to work out a more expensive deal for this season. And, I mean, he's pretty much giving up, I think it's like $800,000 a game. That adds up really quick. So, like, I don't think he necessarily wants to leave over $3 million on the table by not playing in the first 4 weeks or $8 million by not playing in the first 10 weeks. So I think that there's no way that he sits out till week 10. I would feel pretty comfortable betting that he is back after, you know, maybe even next week. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me by the time we post this that he's already reported to practice. Like, right. So, like, I mean, I can't remember what podcast it was that I did recently. Like, we were talking about something, and, like, we spent, like, 10 or 15 minutes having this discussion, and by the time we posted it, like, it had been resolved. So, it will not surprise me if that's the case. Like, if we get to the end of this episode and, like, all of a sudden he's at practice. So, I don't think that he is a guy that people should be selling on, especially if you're in a league. Like, if you're in a 12-team league and there are six playoff teams, do not sell on Le'Veon Bell. Like, just, you're going to take the loss. It's going to hurt for the first few weeks, but hopefully you draft a lot of running backs, like I always recommend, and you just try to make the playoffs. Now, if you're in, like, a 16-team league with four playoff teams, you may, if you're really worried about it, you may want to try to sell, but, like, I'm not taking a third or a fourth round pick for the guy. You know, I'm the person that in leagues that is gonna go and try to trade a third or fourth round pick for Le'Veon Bell. Like, if I've got a Joe Mixon, if I've got a Royce Freeman, like, I'm going right now to Le'Veon Bell owner and going, hey, you want to make a trade here? You could use a running back, and seeing if I can get away with highway robbery. Because even if he misses four games, even if he misses 10 games, like, imagine having Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley, you know, in your offense come playoff times.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think there's any chance that he gets traded, like, in real football?
No, I don't think so.
No? I've seen a couple reports about San Francisco having all this cap room, and it's making me a little nervous.
I mean, I think they should.
I mean, they just lost McKinnon, so.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely should. Washington should do it. I'd love to go to McKinnon. I mean, I know they seem happy with Peterson, but, you know, there are a number of teams that, I mean, there's what, like, six teams in the NFL that couldn't use a Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you've got the cap room, you should go make that move. I don't even know, are you even allowed to trade at this point? For a guy who hasn't signed a franchise, well, I guess, I mean, Mac just got traded, so obviously.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
Oh, that's right, you're a Raiders fan. Oh, I can't wait till we get that. All right, let's give me a thought on this game.
You know, obviously James Conner, we spent a little bit of time talking about him already, so he should be a surefire fire up either in, you know, RB slot or flex slot. But I'm really curious to see how Ben does. You know, there's been some rumors about this might be his last year. We haven't really seen too big of a fall off, but he is playing on the road, and we know what Ben looks like on the road compared to at home. So I want to see what he looks like, especially to start off this season, because there's a few people that are higher on him than I am this year. And, you know, if he starts to fall off at all, then this might be my selling point for him or try and replace him.
Yeah, I'm more interested to see what the rotations are on the other side of the ball. Like, what is Cleveland going to do with these running backs? They've got three running backs on this team that all could be, you know, could be the starter. And I know Hyde is, you know, probably going to get the early down work, and Duke Johnson is going to, you know, handle the a lot of the receiving work. But I want to see, like, what the share is out of this backfield, how many touches each guy gets. Nick Chubb is obviously the future and probably will get a smaller workload to start the year. But, like, Chubb is a guy I'm really high on for this season because I think a lot of times we worry too much about the role and forget that injuries happen and that eventually play, you know, the better athlete and the better player is going to win out. And I think Nick Chubb is the best back in that backfield already. So, and then I'm also interested to see what they're doing at wide receiver. Obviously Landry's going to be in on every, you know, almost every play. But Josh Gordon may be worked in a little bit more slowly. So does that mean Antonio Callaway gets a little bit more run? I'd like to see kind of what he's made of as a rookie coming into this league. I just think the Browns are such an interesting offense this year.
Yeah, for sure. And then we should probably do an over-under on, you know, like the third quarter. Is Baker Mayfield the quarterback? Or
I think Hugh Jackson is one of those guys that is super stubborn. I think Baker Mayfield is the quarterback by week five. I should probably look up when the Browns' bye week is. That would probably like be like the telling symbol of when Tyrod Taylor is not a good quarterback. And like,
right.
I know people like love him in fantasy and stuff, and he's getting some hype. Like I saw someone tweet out, well, if Tyrod Taylor plays 16 games this year, then he's going to be a top 12 quarterback in fantasy. Now that may be true, but there is absolutely no way Tyrod Taylor plays 16 games for the Browns this year. He is not a good quarterback. He's going to be great for Jarvis Landry because he loves throwing those short and intermediate routes because his deep ball accuracy blows and he fucking never sets his feet when he throws because he's always antsy in a pocket. So I, you know, for those who don't know, you know, I grew up in the DC area. I'm a huge Virginia Tech fan. I've seen every single one of Tyrod Taylor's game dating back to when he was in college. And I just cannot stand the dude.
So. Yeah, for the Browns, you know, they start off with the Steelers and then they go to New Orleans too. So, you know, if they get blown out both those games, they come back in week three on Thursday night against New York Jets. I think that's a perfect time to throw Baker Mayfield against St. Darnold.
I think you're right. I think there's your over under week three.
Yep.
All right. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers are a 4-point favorite in this game. Who you got?
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh covers.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh wins this game and covers as well. All right, let's move on to the game of the week, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Indianapolis Colts. I had a really hard time writing up this game because I don't know what to do with Andrew Luck and this Indianapolis offense. Like, I really don't know what it's going to be. It was very conservative in preseason. Were they hiding things? Were they kind of, you know, playing possum a little bit, or is he not the same player that he was before the injury? I don't think anybody knows. And I think anybody that's saying that they know what Andrew Luck is going to be and what this Colts offense is going to look like is fucking lying to you. So what are your thoughts on just Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts offense in general?
You know, I think it's crazy to expect what, you know, Luck performed like a couple of years ago whenever he was fully healthy right off the bat. I do think that it might take him a couple of games to get his feet under him and kind of be more comfortable to throw the downfield passes or the tight window passes. But, you know, starting off this week against the Bengals, it's a pretty easy matchup. I mean, they do have a pretty good D-line, but they have one good corner and that's about it. So it's a pretty good matchup for him to kind of get rolling and see what this offense is capable of. He still has T.Y. Hilton. They got an emerging running back in Jordan Wilkins, and Jack Doyle is a safety blanket. So there are some weapons. I'm a little bit skeptical about starting him this week, if I have a better option with, you know, even Andy Dalton might be a better option just because Indy's defense is so atrocious.
Dalton is a much better option in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, especially for this week. But if there's someone else I can lean towards this week just so I can wait and see on Andrew Luck, I'm going to try and do that.
All right. What do you got? What are you looking forward or looking at in this game?
Well, on the Cincinnati side, I mean, this is the game for them to show out. So if you're wanting stuff from A.J. Green, if you're wanting him to perform like a first or second rounder, this is the game for you. Joe Mixon, I'm really curious to see if this offensive coordinator can figure out how to use him and keep him on the field and give him the ball as much as they need to, because he has the capability to be a first round caliber running back in fantasy. And if they use him right, if they give him the rock, then that's going to be a telltale sign.
That offensive line still blows, though.
Yeah. That being said, going up against Indianapolis, if he has a 200-yard performance, I'm looking to sell him for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's like the perfect thing to do is if you have Joe Mixon, hope that he just goes off against really Indianapolis, like, had one of the worst run defenses in the league last year and did virtually nothing to address it.
Right. Like, they were more focused on protecting Andrew Luck,
which is good because they had one of the worst offensive lines in football, and they still do. So it's not like it's necessarily their plan wasn't necessarily a bad one or anything like that. But I don't have a lot of faith in Mixon because I don't have a lot of faith in that offensive line. And I think while they did make some minor adjustments, I would still say it is a bottom 10 offensive line in football.
Yeah, for sure. But this is the game for all the Bengals to show out.
For sure. All right. Cincinnati Bengals at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 3-point favorites at home. Who you got?
No, give me Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cincinnati and I'm going to take those points. I was actually impressed by Dalton and John Ross in the preseason a little bit. So I think I'm with you on that one. So Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. What do you got in this game?
So Corey Davis has been, you know, kind of an enigma starting last year, just being the first wide receiver drafted. I wasn't very comfortable taking him as like my wide receiver 2 or 3 coming into draft season. So I'm really curious to see if he's healthy and if they actually use him in this offense, because Mariota has been kind of a dink and dunk type guy so far. And Davis is more like a route runner and a speed guy. So I'm really curious about that. And then, of course, this running back situation over there. I mean, what's the split going to be for Henry and Lewis? Is Lewis going to get more of the passing down game? Is it going to be more of an even split? I'm really curious to see about that. And that's going to tell me how I need to move forward with this running back.
I was a huge Corey Davis supporter coming into draft season this year. I've got a lot of shares of Corey Davis. And I wasn't a huge one coming into last year. But when I watch the game film on him, I'm super intrigued by his just offensive skill set. Like, dude has amazing hands and fantastic body control. And I just think if Mariota can take any step forward, and last year he took a step back, and, you know, Mariota's another one of those quarterbacks that I've been super down on and really railing against. And last year it played out exactly like I said it would. I'm hoping if Mariota can make any steps forward this year, it's going to be a huge year for Corey Davis. So it's a little bit of a crapshoot because if Mariota can't get him the ball, it's not going to matter how good of an athlete Davis is. But I'm on board that train. I'm not as big on the Deion Lewis train this year. I'm a much bigger Derrick Henry fan. That being said, Deion Lewis is a guy that I love this week, especially in DFS, because I think people are going to look at what the Dolphins did last year against the run game, and that they were much worse against the pass. And people are going to go, well, they didn't give up a lot of fantasy points to running backs. I'm going to stay away from. They were truly atrocious versus running backs that catch the ball. They allowed the fourth most receptions to opposing running backs and the second most fantasy points to pass-catching running backs in the league last year. I think Lewis is a really, really great play this week.
Going back to Davis, I mean, he has all the skills that everyone's looking for, like you said. But I think if you just put him on a different team, he'd be a much better fantasy reliable guy. But I'm with you. I want to see how they use him. I'm really curious to see how they use him and if Mariota can get him the ball. But that's something that I'm looking forward to this week because, like you said, Miami doesn't really have the best defense to go up against. So this should be the week that Mariota starts to take that step forward and we can figure out what's going on with these running backs.
This is a great week for a lot of things Tennessee. Like, if you're in a survivor pool, it's a great week to use Tennessee and kind of get them out of the way. I think it's a great week to use a lot of their players. If you're playing in, like, eliminator challenges or things like that for players, it's a good week to bet on them because they're only a point and a half favorites, and I think they're going to blow out Miami. So, in terms of Miami, I'm really interested to see what Ryan Tannehill looks like. We didn't get to see a ton of him in the preseason, so it's a defense that was really good against the run last year, but also added a lot of pieces. This is a great week to stream the Titans defense if you're streaming defenses. But I'm really interested to see what Tannehill looks like coming off of that ACL surgery.
Yeah, I am as well. I think the only guy that you can feel comfortable starting is Kenyon Drake coming into this week. But there are a few guys that I'm looking, to see what they do. Kind of like Kenny Stills, Danny Amendola, Albert Wilson, how that rotation works out. Because they're all three talented. I just want to see, which one's going to be Tannehill's guy and, how their offense looks.
Yeah, I'm more interested to see what the tight end rotation is going to be. Are they going to roll out AJ Derby or are they going to roll out Gesicki? I'm interested to see that. Not that Tannehill's ever been a big tight end guy, but they've never really had a tight end worth throwing to in Miami since he's been there.
That's true. That might be the best, way for a Miami Dolphin to get in my lineup is probably the tight end position.
Yeah, but that's good. You got to be pretty desperate.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. The Titans are 1.5-point favorites on the road. Who you got?
Give me the Titans.
Yeah, me too. All right. Another game that's going to be kind of a weak game to watch, but some interesting storylines. San Francisco at the Minnesota Vikings. Jerick McKinnon out for the season. A guy in the draft I was at on the day the news came out that his ACL was torn, hadn't gotten the news, took McKinnon in the second round.
Yikes.
Yeah. And, we all watched him do it. This is a live draft. A group of 12 buddies sitting around, and 11 people knew what was happening, and one person didn't.
In the second round, too.
Yeah, end of the second round. He had taken, I think he took Le'Veon Bell in the first round.
Oh, wow. He's tanking.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot. I'm pretty sure he took Le'Veon Bell in the first round.
Wow.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that. That's amazing. there's nothing like playing an 11-person league.
Right.
Because he's not winning anything. what do you got on this game?
Well, I'm definitely curious to see what they do at running back. I think Morris might be the guy to go to in, a standard-type league, but Burrito would be my choice in more of a PPR setting, even though he's caught, less than 10 balls the past couple years going back to college as well. So that's a little bit interesting. And I want to see how Jimmy Garoppolo does against this awesome defense. I mean, I'm pretty high on him this year, so I want to see how he does up against the competition. I think Goodwin's going to be the wide receiver to own. So on San Francisco, I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup going up against Minnesota to start off the year.
Yeah, I'm very interested in seeing kind of how this offense rolls in general. It's not a very talented offense, and I think Jimmy G is a talented player, and I think he's going to be a good fantasy player, but only because the defense is so bad that they're going to have to throw quite a bit. And I'm a little bummed that my prediction that Jerick McKinnon wouldn't be any good this season is already played out, because it's not obviously playing out the way I thought it would in terms of he just wasn't going to be very good. Because he's just not very good, so it's a bummer that he's out for the season because of injury. Definitely interested to see Alfred Morris and see how much of the workload he gets. considering, you know, he knows that Shanahan offense from his Washington days. But I think Breida will eventually become the guy in that offense. One, because Morris can't catch, and Breida can, but two, because he's younger and a little bit more dynamic. So I'm interested really to see Dalvin Cook. We saw very, very limited action on him in the preseason. I assume they will work him in a little bit slowly to start, which should be good news for Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, and Stephon Diggs. So I think this is going to be a big game for the Vikings passing offense, because I think they'll kind of protect Cook quite a bit. I'm not lowering in my ranks or really that much this week, but wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, kind of split carries or be protected, especially from in the passing game, not letting, you know, defenders get like big shots on him and stuff.
Yeah, I'm a little bit interested to see him. I have absolutely no shares of Dalvin Cook just because I'm not fully on board, just because of coming off the injury and being a little bit worried about that. So the one thing I'm interested to see is, like you said, in the pass offense, Stephon Diggs has been showing out in the preseason. Him and Cousins seem to have a pretty good rapport. But I've been getting Adam Thielen everywhere for cheap.
Thielen's the guy. See, like I know a lot of people and a lot of really smart people in the industry are like really big on Diggs, but like Thielen is going to still run out of the slot, and that was like the bread and butter for Cousins in Washington. Even though they wanted to stretch the field, he preferred to throw to the slot receiver and the tight end, and so I think Thielen and Rudolph are going to be like the huge beneficiaries of Cousins.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think a lot of people in the industry are not. So I'm hoping that that's the case, that Thielen and Rudolph, you know, they come out and they show out this week, so that way, you know, I can start reaping the benefits.
Completely agree. All right, so we have San Francisco at the Vikings. The Vikings are 6.5-point favorites. Who you got?
I think I'm going to take the Vikings, but I don't think they cover.
Really?
It's going to be a pretty close game, I think. I think Jimmy G is going to be able to move the field just a little bit and also keep it close.
I think the Vikings win in a blowout.
All right.
This is like the actual game of the week. The Houston Texans versus the New England Patriots. The return of Deshaun Watson. And I think that's got to be the thing you're looking forward to the most in this game is seeing a guy who was absolutely amazing, had the league's best QBR last season if he had been a qualified quarterback, had 19 touchdowns in the first 7 games before tearing that ACL. All eyes on Deshaun Watson for this game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think this might be one of the shockers. I think there's more Texans that I'm willing to start than there are Patriots, especially in this game. I mean, there's so many weapons on that offense. I think Lamar Miller is a viable RB2, possibly borderline RB1, just because of the stats that he produced with Watson. And then, of course, DeAndre Hopkins. And if Fuller can, you know, get another limited practice in, I think he might be a viable option as well, just because we don't know what that New England secondary is going to look like.
I'm right there with you, because I don't like it's always a crapshoot. And this was like the argument I had when we did that pod-a-thon for the Scott Fishbowl. You know, and I was just like, I don't like want any New England running backs on my fantasy team.
Right.
Like, and this, like this week could be just James White and Jeremy Hill. Like that is gross.
Yeah, that's really bad.
And I mean, Burkhead has a chance to play. I don't think Sony Michel plays in this game. And I think Michelle's stock dropped enough because of the injury that he was worth taking a gamble on, and I did take a gamble on him in a couple late drafts. But ultimately, like, I don't trust any running back in this offense. The only wide receiver I trust is Chris Hogan for as long as Chris Hogan will be healthy, and who knows how long that will be. Like, I don't know that I would ever want to start Philip Dorsett, even though he's going to start the year as the number two wideout. So it's like Gronk, Hogan, and Tom Brady, and that's all I trust.
Yeah, that's like the biggest split between wide receiver one and running back one, all the way down to running back two or wide receiver two. I mean, whenever you're talking about Philip Dorsett, it's getting pretty thin. So yeah, for me, it's Brady, it's Hogan, it's Gronk. If I have to, I might try and sneak James White in a PPR flex position just because they might throw him in the slot a lot until Edelman gets back. You know, if I'm in a pinch, then I'll lean towards that. But
if you punted like your second running back in a PPR, or you're like that dude who drafted Le'Veon Bell and then drafted
Jared McKinnon.
He did grab James White later on in the draft, so like maybe that'll save him for week one. You know, go ahead, but I would feel very hard pressed to. I wouldn't feel very comfortable if any of those running backs were my running back too.
Yeah, me either.
All right, Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. The Patriots are 6-point favorites in this game.
Give me the Texans plus the points.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Patriots to win, but I'll take the Texans to cover.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. Another one of these games that I think is going to be a huge blowout. Jameis Winston, or as I once called him, Jamias, my boy Jamias, suspended for the first three games of the season. Ryan Fitzpatrick takes the reins. For me, like the thing I want to see is, can Tampa Bay move the ball with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback? And what the hell are they doing at running back? Peyton Barber appears to be in line for the lead role because Ronald Jones has just absolutely sucked. And it's really interesting because they spent a really high pick on this dude, and he looks like garbage, and they're not like... They're not like giving him votes of confidence either. They're just pretty much saying this guy blows,
right?
Like, I don't know how you do that to your. I believe it was a second round pick. Like how do you do that? Like, you're a rebuilding team and you're supposed to be rebuilding around this guy, and you're like, wow, this guy cannot catch the ball and he cannot run the ball. We knew he couldn't catch the ball when we drafted him, but he can't run the ball either. Like, it's, I feel so bad for the kid, but it's kind of true. So. I think like the Saints are a great streaming defense again this week. I don't know that I want any part of this Tampa Bay offense on my fantasy team.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Barber does. Just based off the news, like you said, from the coaching staff, I stocked up on all of the Peyton Barber stocks in most of my drafts. So, you know, I'm curious to see. I'm not comfortable starting him just because the New Orleans defense has actually looked pretty good in the past, you know, year and a half since this ex-Raider took over there as their D coordinator. So, yeah, I know, right? So, yeah, that's pretty much the only thing that I'm interested in on the Tampa Bay side. I know, like you said, Fitzpatrick, he's probably going to force feed Evans the ball, which is good for Evans fantasy players just because he likes to force the ball into tight windows, so that's fine. But then moving over to the Saints side, I'm curious to see how much they use Kamara, especially without Ingram being there for the first couple games, and if Gillislee is going to be a factor. That seems like more of a vulture factor. I think he's going to vulture a few touchdowns from Kamara, which is going to suck. But
we were going to see that anyways with Mark Ingram or... even if they had Jonathan Williams, who, like, I'm surprised they cut Jonathan Williams
and signed Gillislee.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, why? Like, Williams looked good in preseason. Why not just give him the ball?
Yeah, but then if Ingram were to vulture some touchdowns, at least you have him in your lineup. You're not going to start Gillislee this week. But, you know, the other thing that I'm really curious to see is what that wide receiver two position looks like. Is it going to be Ted Ginn all the time? Is it going to be Cam Meredith? Is it going to be their rookie? I want to see how that works out. Yeah, I'm really curious to see that.
He's the real deal, I think.
You think he's going to start over both of them?
I don't necessarily think he's going to start over both of them, but I think before long we're talking about a guy who is the number two. Like, and I don't think it's going to take super long. So, like, I think if you are looking for a player to stash, Tre'Quan Smith is one of those guys that should be on a lot of rosters.
All right, you heard it here first.
So I'm a big fan. I took him in my dynasty league with a second round pick. I'm super excited about Tre'Quan Smith, and I had the Barf League draft last night, which is an industry league. And Greg Smith of 2QBs.com snaked him from me in the last round. And that's a 12-team Superflex league. All right. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are 9.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take them with the points.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Saints, and I'll lay down 9.5 because I think they're going to cover that. All right, Jacksonville Jaguars versus the New York Giants. What do you got in this game?
Oh, man, this is an interesting game. For Barkley to start off the season going up against this Jacksonville defense, it's going to be fun to watch. I think a lot of people were starting to take him a little bit higher in the drafts as the season went on. So I'm really curious to see how this Giants offense looks. Curious to see how Beckham Jr. does up against the trash talker Ramsey. And if Ingram or Shepard is going to be able to come out of the woodworks for this game, just because those top tier guys on Jacksonville's defense are so good that maybe they can take advantage of, you know, a couple of the weak spots.
Yeah, is there a weak spot on this Jacksonville defense?
I mean, there's a weak spot on every defense. It's just the matter of finding it.
This is an elite defense, and it got better. Like they drafted the defensive tackle to fill the weak spot, which is right up the middle. I think this has the potential, and I'm going to eat my words because this is definitely something that could backfire. But I think this has the potential to be one of the best defenses of all time.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait till you're wrong on that one.
They're going to give up, like, the third most points in the right? league or something like that. I mean, you know, barring health, obviously. But, I mean, Ramsey is just a beast. That defensive line is fantastic. I mean, every part of that defense is just absolutely fantastic. You know, they gave up, I think, the second fewest points to running backs in fantasy. They gave up the fewest points to wide receivers. And the fourth fewest points to tight ends. Like, where do you attack this defense?
Yeah, I think maybe the slot might be the way to attack them at the start of the season. So maybe if Beckham Jr. goes to the slot, I think Ramsey might follow him there. Yeah, but I think
he's going to be on him like glue, dude. Like,
yeah. I think
it's not like Sterling Shepard going up against AJ Boye is like
any better. Yeah. But if they move Shepard or Ingram to the slot, there might be a little bit of a weakness there. But like you said, I mean, this defense is stacked. It's going to be hard for them to move the ball, or it should be. So that's what I'm really curious to see, especially with Saquon Barkley being everyone's first round pick. I'm curious to see how good he does up against this elite competition to start off his career.
Yeah. I don't think anything is going to work. I'm really looking forward to seeing my boy, Keelan Cole, who nobody was talking about last year except for me, and now is the number one wide receiver in Jacksonville. Now, that's not saying much. It's only because Marquise Lee's out for the season.
Right. But
I think he's going to have a big season. I got him late last night in the Barf League draft. We've gotten him late in a lot of drafts this year. I think he's going to pay huge dividends. Blake Bortles loves throwing to the slot because it means it doesn't have to go more than like 5 yards most of the time, which is like the perfect throw for Blake Bortles is, you know, either to the defender or 5 yards down the field. So I think Keelan Cole is going to have a big season. I'm also really interested to see like how much DJ Chark plays because Chark was, was there. Draft pick this year. I think they took him in the second round, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong on that. He has a really nice kind of blend of size and speed, and he was like the talk of camp. And I know they're paying Dante Moncrief a lot of money, and so he's going to be the number two receiver, at least in name, to start the season. But I think Chark is going to be is eventually going to leapfrog Moncrief and D.D. Westbrook and become a huge part of this offense.
Yeah, I was surprised. I actually got Keelan Cole after the injury to Marquise Lee in an auction for a dollar. I don't understand why he's falling still, especially in drafts.
He didn't come on till like half of leagues were like already wrapped up.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, even last year he had a pretty good stretch of games towards the end of the year.
Yeah,
but
it was all towards the end, and so like some people had already tuned out.
Yeah,
and it's Jacksonville, possibly. So like, did you really care that much about Jacksonville's offense?
Right. Yeah. But for me, I'm actually more of a D.D. Westbrook guy. I don't think he's going to take over the role from Cole, but I do think he's going to leapfrog Shark. And I think Moncrief is basically useless. I don't understand why he's there.
He's there because they're paying him money.
Yeah.
I think if Lee hadn't, you know, torn his ACL and was out for the year, I think Moncrief would have got cut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
So. All right, Jacksonville at the New York Giants. The Jaguars are 3-point favorites on the road. Who you got?
Give me Jacksonville in the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jacksonville. I don't think it is going to be a super high-scoring game. I think my fantasy alarm prediction game score was 19-13 Jacksonville. But that means they cover, and I think it definitely goes under.
Yeah, that sounds blah.
Speaking of blah, the Buffalo Bills are at the Baltimore Ravens. What's the over-under on when Josh Allen will be starting?
5 minutes in the game? Isn't that how many minutes it took Peterman to take five interceptions last year?
My God, this is so ugly. So for those who don't know, I write a weekly article for Fantasy Alarm. It is a massive preview of every single game, and I cover virtually every single fantasy relevant player from the offensive side. This week's week one article was 12,241 words, so like a massive article that I write every week. And I actually wanted to hurt myself when writing up the Buffalo Bills section.
Well, it should have only taken you like four words, so it shouldn't have cut into, you know, your biggest.
LeSean McCoy is the only person worth starting.
Is he though? Is he against this Ravens defense? I mean, I wrote down
they were beatable on the ground last year.
Yeah, but I don't feel comfortable starting any Bills, honestly.
I think you're starting McCoy. You've got to start McCoy.
Well, luckily I didn't take him just because of the off the field stuff. If I had him, there was a nice discount that I might be able to start someone else over him with a better matchup. But I'll be very leery to start him if I had him.
I'm starting him. I took him last night as my flex in the Barf League draft.
Got him as a flex though. You didn't draft him as top two running back.
Yeah, I got him in the fourth or fifth round. I got I had the second pick. I got Gurley. And then it's a super flex league, so I took Aaron Rodgers in the second round. Jordan Howard in the third round, and then McCoy was staring me in the fourth round. I was like, well, it's a PPR league, but, I mean, you can never have too many running backs. I was like, there's a ton of wide receivers I like late this year, so I took McCoy. He's going to be my flex, which I'm totally stoked about. Because for the worst-case scenario, he's going to catch a ton of balls out of the backfield.
Yeah, or they'll clink off his hands and go to the defense, so one of the two.
They're going to go to the defense either way with Nate Peterman.
Yeah.
This is a great week for Alex Collins. You know, he should be able to feast. I believe the Bills were the worst run defense in the league last year in terms of fantasy points. They gave the most points to running backs last year.
Yeah, and that was before they traded Darius. So, yeah, that's a good week to start Collins. I think the better start for the Ravens is their defense. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If you weren't able to draft them, then they're probably not out there on the wire. But
definitely
this is
not,
the
yeah.
great week to start them. What about Crabtree for you? Are you starting Crabtree?
Oh, that's an interesting one because like John Brown's getting all the buzz right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Crabtree's been super consistent. I know he's coming off a like kind of disappointing season last year in Oakland. And he's 31 years old. You know, most likely Tre'Davious White is going to be on him, which is a really bad matchup. So I don't think I am starting him. And I honestly, I don't think I'm starting either wide receiver unless I'm desperate. But if I'm going to start one of the two, it's John Brown.
Yeah, so it's Collins and the Ravens defense in this whole game for me, but you can throw in a little McCoy.
Yeah, yeah. For me, like literally for the Bills wide receivers, my write-up, you know, usually I do an individual write-up of each receiver, and I just put all three of Benjamin, Zay Jones, and Corey Coleman together, and I wrote, I'm going to read exactly what I wrote. I can't trust any receiver from Buffalo unless Peterman shows he can be productive by in center. Like, that was my write-up, and usually I write about 100 words per player.
Right. Is Coleman still on the team, or didn't he get cut?
Oh, did he get cut?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got cut.
Oh, well, they just traded for him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got cut. Let me check real quick.
Like, who else they got on that team as wide receiver?
Yeah, they cut him.
Wow, that's insane.
Yep.
That's you know, remember when everybody was like super stoked about Corey Coleman? I mean, I wasn't, but I mean, like that, like this is a team that has no talent.
Yep.
On their offense, like I can't believe they would cut bait on for Jeremy Curley and Andre Holmes. Like I'm sorry, like I don't know how you. I mean, you know, he may not be good, but like he's still young. He could develop.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't trade a third rounder for Martavis Bryant and then cut him, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Your Raiders are really just putting it all together.
Oh, I know it.
Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are 7-point favorites in this game.
Ravens and the points.
Yeah, Ravens are going to win this big one. That is if you're playing in a survivor league, the Ravens are a great survivor pick this week.
Definitely.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs at the L.A. Chargers. I wanted to call them the San Diego Chargers, but they're not. I'm still struggling with both of those L.A. teams. I don't know what Patrick Mahomes is. I have high hopes for him. I hope that he's going to be a really good player. I think he has got a lot of talent physically. I liked him coming out of college. I kept waiting for him to supplant Alex Smith, but Smith just played too well last year. I think they made a great decision in trading Alex Smith to my Redskins, especially considering they got back a third-round pick, and they got back a pretty good quarterback in the process. So, I don't know what this Kansas City team is, honestly. Like, if they went 10-6 and made the playoffs, I would not be surprised. If they went 6-10 and didn't come close to making the playoffs, I would not be surprised. And I think it all falls on Mahomes' shoulders.
Yeah, for me, on the first week of the season, if I drafted Mahomes to be my starter, I'm a little bit nervous about that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I'm definitely firing up Hunt. I'm also a little nervous about Kelce because last year he played against the LA Chargers twice, of course, since they're in the division. He had 4 catches for 47 yards and no touchdowns. So that tells me that the Chargers can cover the tight ends, even the elite ones. So I think it's probably Hunt and Hill for me this week. You're probably going to have to start Kelce.
Yeah,
in DFS,
you can't
I'm staying away.
Like a third round pick on a guy like Kelce, and then not play him week one. Like
right, just, but I'm thinking more DFS.
Yeah,
you know, stay away from Kelce.
Yeah, for sure. The Chargers were one of the best teams against the tight end last year.
Yeah.
So I'm not. What do you think of this San Diego? What do you think of this LA offense? They have a ton of weapons. Antonio Gates is back.
Yeah.
Does he cloud things at all? Because, I mean, he has been a favorite target of Rivers in the past.
Probably not clouding things, but he's probably going to be their tight end to go to in passing downs. I mean, they're not going to use him to block. They haven't in the past couple of years. They're going to use him whenever he's running routes and probably going to be at the goal line and everything like that. So he's a great get for them. I mean, it was something that was said all preseason once the Hunter Henry thing came down. But for me in this game, you know, Rivers should tear up this Kansas City secondary. I mean, they traded away their top cornerback. They have Eric Berry, and that's about it. So Keenan Allen, I want to see who emerges of the Williams brothers, Tyrell and Mike.
Mike Williams is going to be the guy that emerges.
Yeah, it should be. And then Melvin Gordon, of course. But this should be a landslide victory for the LA Chargers.
I don't know if it will be a landslide victory. I have the Chargers winning this game, but I do not have them covering the spread.
Okay, I think they're going to cover the spread. I'm pretty confident that, you know, the experience of Rivers and the weapons that he has around him against this the defense of the Chiefs is going to outweigh, you know, the question marks that Mahomes has.
Okay. All right, let's move on and talk about another game of the week, and that is the Seattle Seahawks at the Denver Broncos. And it's probably going to be really ugly and not fun to watch, which makes me sad that it's one of, like, the few afternoon games. But what do you got in this game?
So the running back situation on both sides really is very interesting. Penny was falling in most of the drafts that I did, even in auctions as well. He went for pretty cheap. He went for cheaper than Carson, which I think is a little bit interesting. So I'm curious to see, especially on Seattle's side, how that works out, because I'm pretty sure Penny's going to be ready for this week. They're probably going to sprinkle him in just because he missed so much time. And then the wide receiver position. So Doug Baldwin came out and said he's probably not going to be over 80% for the whole year, which is a little bit concerning, especially because I have a lot of shares of Doug Baldwin. And then if Tyler Lockett can emerge, or is there someone else that we're missing on this Seattle offense that's going to emerge?
Yeah, they cut my boy Darbour, so I'm a little disappointed. They re-signed Brandon Marshall, so that's interesting. I don't know if this offense, I don't know how good this offense is going to be, but I like Chris Carson, especially early on in the season. I think Penny missed so much time that he's going to have the role, and he actually looked pretty good in the preseason, so he's got the role at least for through the first 4 or 5 weeks, and considering you spent nothing on him in drafts, I think a pretty, you know, fair value, even if you only get 4 or 5 weeks out of him. So I like Carson this week versus Denver. I think Freeman is the man. I think the question becomes, can Case Keenum do enough to not have defenses stack the box on him? Because I do not buy, and I mentioned this earlier on in the podcast, I do not buy what Case Keenum did last year.
Yeah, I don't really either. You know, I'm with you on Freeman. He was going as a starting running back in drafts, so that's what people are hoping for him. You know, they still have the shadow of Devontae Booker there, so he might take a little bit of reps away from him. But yeah, I have no confidence in Case Keenum. I think me and you discussed earlier that, you know, we have no interest in him, especially, you know, in a one quarterback league. But the wide receiver position, I mean, we've seen Emmanuel Sanders show out this whole preseason. And Demaryius Thomas has had some hip issues in the past, and he's getting up there in age. So we just want to see, you know, what Case can do for them, basically.
All right. Seattle Seahawks at the Denver Broncos. Who you got? Broncos are a 3-point favorite.
Oh, give me Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Seahawks to win outright. So, but I think I'd prefer, if I'm actually going to bet on it, I'll just take Seahawks +3.
Yeah.
My Washington Redskins at the Arizona Cardinals. I have, you know, I feel like all I'm doing is talking about quarterbacks I've hated for a very long time. And Alex Smith definitely is one of those guys that tops the list in that regard. So,
fitting that he plays for your favorite
team.
Yeah,
no, my wife could not stop laughing because, you know, she grew up out in the Bay Area. She's been a huge Niner fan for a long time. She's always had a soft spot for Alex Smith because she felt like he got a raw deal. She was happy to see him succeed last year in Kansas City. She's been laughing her ass off all off season about the fact my Redskins traded for him and then gave him a huge contract. So I'm very interested to see what Alex Smith looks like in this offense. Because Smith, while he did open the field up a lot more in Kansas City last season, he's notoriously a guy who does not like opening up the playbook and throwing down the field. And that's what this Redskins offense is largely based on. And so I'm very interested to see if he can be a guy that does more than throw the short and intermediate routes like he has been his entire career. I think Jamison Crowder is about to have a huge year because of The fact that Smith likes those short and intermediate routes, I think that Reed will have a huge year as long as he's healthy. And of course, he's already injured coming into the season, so we'll see how long that lasts. But I'm very interested to see what Alex Smith does.
Yeah, I am too. I'm with you about Crowder. I'm with you about Reed. You have to start him this week if he comes in the week healthy, because you might not be able to start him again this season. And then, of course, you know, the big question mark is going to be this running back situation. It's been said that Peterson's going to be the running back one, and he should be the guy that's owned in most leagues for now. But I'm still curious to see how he looks, how many reps he gets, what the split is, because Thompson's way ahead of schedule, and he should be able to start the year and even start this week. So that's a little bit that's going to cut into some of his time, and it's going to be another target for Alex Smith to dump off to, which he loves to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm really curious about that situation coming into the season.
All right. Anything on the other side of the ball? I mean, David Johnson's David Johnson. As long as he's healthy, I think he'll be fine. I'll be interested to see when Christian Kirk really makes an impact. I think he's not going to have a huge target share early on in the season, but I think eventually he will. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with the alignment of the wide receivers, because Kirk is built for the slot, and that's where Larry Fitzgerald plays. So do they move Fitzgerald outside? Do they try to move Kirk outside? I don't know exactly what they're going to do with their wideouts.
Yeah, I think Kirk will probably start the year outside just to get him on the field, get him up against some NFL competition. But I think as far as fantasy, you're going to start David Johnson, you're going to start Larry Fitzgerald. And then since we did the over-under game on Baker Mayfield, what about for Josh Rosen?
Well, for me, it's a matter of how long do we think Sam Bradford's healthy for?
Probably 5 minutes, just like Peterman's interception.
Yeah, so, over-under. I mean, I'll say over-under's week four.
Okay.
Do you think Bradford can make it four games without getting hurt again?
Probably not. Week four, they play against Seattle. They have a pretty difficult schedule to start the year. They play, they play this game against the Redskins, which is cake. Yeah, which is a cake game. But then they play, let's see here, they play Seattle. And they also play Los Angeles, the Rams. So
that Rams one could be the end of it, because that Rams defense is legit.
Yeah, and they play Chicago as well. So it's Chicago, the Rams, and the Redskins to start off the year. So I would say week three, week four probably was when we would see Josh Rosen.
All right. My Redskins at the Arizona Cardinals. This is a no-line game. There are not. It's a zero-point spread. There's no favorite. Who you got?
Yeah, there shouldn't be a favorite. Just because you're a Redskins fan, I'll go Arizona.
My prediction: Arizona wins in a squeaker.
All right.
So, I for those who know me, I may be a homer in some regards, but I very rarely bet on my team.
Smart.
I've grown up a Redskins fan. Like, I totally know how this works. Like, they're not going to get blown out. What they're going to do is they're going to lose in the last 5 minutes of a game.
Yeah, especially with Jay Gruden as their head coach. I can't wait for them
to fire him. It's amazing to me that he's been like their longest tenured head coach in a while.
I'll trade John for Jay.
Not a chance. I'd rather have Fred Gruden. Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. What do you got in this game?
So I'm curious to hear your opinion about the whole Christian McCaffrey thing. I mean, there's been some bump in ADP for the past, you know, couple weeks. He's been going in the first round in some of the NFBC or the NFFC drafts that I've seen. So I'm curious to see, you know, how they use him. I'm hoping they get him at least 20 touches a game. Whether that be running, whether it be passing, I really don't care, because I think he should be the focal point of their offense. And then is Greg Olsen going to be a viable tight end starter for us? And then is Funchess the wide receiver to own over DJ Moore?
I don't think Funchess is the wide receiver to own over DJ Moore. DJ Moore really impressed me in the preseason. He was a guy that I didn't know a ton of about coming out of college, but watching him play, he can run routes really well, and he has this raw ability to break big plays.
Do you have to run good routes to be a wide receiver for Cam Newton, though?
Well, I don't. I mean, that's a really loaded question right there. I think you need to run good routes to be a wide receiver in the NFL. So, or at least have like amazing offensive ability. And this is why Devin Funchess has not turned into a great wide receiver, in spite of the fact that he is big. One, he does not run great routes, though they have gotten better. But he also has hands of stone sometimes. It just, I was telling some guys at that draft I was at a week or so ago. I was like, you know, Funchess is one of those guys that I think the majority of his problems are in his head.
Yeah, but he still gave you 8 touchdowns last year. Like I said, it doesn't matter how good you are for Cam Newton. It's just if he throws it up, if you're going to be able to get it. I mean, he's so erratic.
Yeah,
he's not very
accurate.
Yeah, but now they
have another guy to throw it up to, and Greg Olsen's back. So Greg Olsen's going to steal some of those touchdowns, and DJ Moore's going to steal more. I just think Funchess is one of those bust guys for this year.
And what are your thoughts on McCaffrey?
I was very down on McCaffrey last year, and I'm on board this year. I think they are going to make him a huge focal point of the offense, and I think the fact that they're having some offensive line woes really works into his favor as a pass catcher.
Yeah, I'm not on board with him going in the first round. I think that was a little ballsy.
No, that's, but I mean, you always see that kind of stuff in those games.
Yeah, especially in the NFFC. I mean, it's more boom or bust. I mean, in the baseball draft this year that I did, Clayton Kershaw went number 2. So it's all about,
the
upside.
We saw Saquon go first overall in a draft.
Yeah, in the ESPN draft. Yeah,
don't get me wrong. I mean, what's his name who took him?
Louis Riddick.
Yeah, Lou Riddick. He, I think he's a very good analyst, and I think he really understands the game. But I don't think he understands fantasy, because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
But, I could be wrong. I mean, like, Barkley is one of those guys that could be worth it. We could turn around at the end of the season and be like, oh, man, he was right. But I just, like, the profit potential isn't there.
Yeah, same thing for McCaffrey as well. He could return first-round value, but if you take him in the first round, then there's nothing you're gaining.
Those are what I call look-at-me picks. You want everybody in the draft to look at you. And when you're in the industry and you make picks like that, you just want everybody to look at you and pay attention to you.
Get you some clicks.
Exactly. What are you doing in this Cowboys receiver game? Is there anybody that you really want? Who do you think ends up being the guy out of Gallup, Hearns, Beasley, and Williams?
None of the above. I mean, I'm curious to see how Gallup does. He's been the talk of the camp, and he came in after the draft. I mean, everyone was already saying, okay, this is the guy that's going to take Dez's role. So I'm curious to see that. I think Hearns, as long as he's healthy, might have the better season, but he just has to stay healthy, and that's the biggest thing for him. But I think Terrence Williams is unownable. Beasley is unownable just because of the fact that they signed Hearns. It's going to take some playing time away from him. For me in this game, it's Zeke, and that's it.
Yeah, there's always a player that is the most regretful drop of the season. And to me, I think Michael Gallup could be one of those guys. He's going to be one of those guys that people drop after week 2.
Yeah.
That people really regret. I mean, this is a guy that runs really great routes for a rookie. And like his main competition for that Dez Bryant role is Terrence Williams. And I think we all know who Terrence Williams is at this point.
Yep. Is it Zeke for you too, or are you starting Dak?
I'm not starting Dak.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's hard because Carolina's run defense is really good. Their pass defense is not. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them really just stack the box and force Prescott to throw. But I need to see some positive regression from last year before I'm willing to start Prescott. All right, let's see. Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are 3-point favorites in this game. Who you got?
Panthers and the points. Easy.
Yeah. All right. With Sunday night game, we got the Bears at the Packers. What do you got in this game?
I do not want to watch the Bears this year. It has nothing to do with their offense. It has everything to do with Khalil Mack. So that's just me. I will provide a little bit of analysis on them. I'm curious to see how much they're using Trey Burton. You know, there was actually a article that was posted that said he might go over 1,000 yards as a receiver. So that's interesting to me. I think that he's one of the more dynamic pieces on their offense, along with Allen Robinson and Tariq Cohen. Jordan Howard's going to get his. I'm not worried about that. I do think Tariq Cohen is going to find himself in the slot a lot more, especially with this new coordinator or the new head coach, Bill Nagy. And I'm curious to see how Allen Robinson comes back after the injury. I'm curious to see if he's the same wide receiver that we grew up and loved in Jacksonville. So this offense is very intriguing, but Burton is the guy that I have my eyes on for sure this game.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, they gave him the contract, so you got to think they're going to – I mean, they did it for a reason, right? Like, you don't pay someone like that and then don't use them. So, for me, it's a different guy that they paid. They paid Allen Robinson, and I've been a big Allen Robinson guy for a long time. Really burnt me last year because of the injury. You know, what I wrote in my article for Fantasy Alarm was – that Allen Robinson got used to playing from behind, racking up the fantasy points in garbage time. So, like, I think, like, hey, he's already used to doing that. Chicago's going to have those games, and I think this could be one of them. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing a really healthy Allen Robinson. I've also got huge hopes and a lot of shares of Jordan Howard. So I'm definitely going to be interested to see how they use him. On the Packers side of the ball, I know a lot of people are really interested in watching the running back rotation. I don't care as much about that because I think Aaron Jones will eventually get the role after he returns in week three. So, like, I think people who are watching Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery, seeing kind of what the split is there, are not taking into account that there's the more talented guy is coming back in a few weeks, and he should grab the role at some point this season. For me, it's about the wide receivers. Like, Randall Cobb went from being on the block to the number two wide receiver in Green Bay, according to the depth chart. You know, Geronimo Allison was a trendy sleeper. Like, who's the number two wide receiver here in Green Bay? I want to see who's on the field, who's got the higher snap counts, who's getting more targets out of Randall Cobb and Allison.
Well, I think the number two wide receiver is a guy you didn't even name. It's Jimmy Graham. Graham.
For sure. But, I mean, it'll be interesting. Like, I don't know if you heard this talk, but did you hear the talk? Like, Aaron Rodgers has never thrown to the tight end. Rodgers has never had Jimmy Graham on the fucking team before. when he had Richard Rodgers or whoever that guy's name was. Graham is going to get fed. There is no doubt in my mind that Graham is, as long as Graham is healthy, that he is going to be a tight end one all year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was taking the discount on him because he was going way after the top three guys. And I took him in so many leagues this year. I love the prospects of Jimmy Graham this year. I'm also with you on Aaron Jones. I think he ends up starting the most games and being the most productive running back in this rotation for the whole year. However, I do have some interest in Jamal Williams starting off this year. I mean, Ty Montgomery is a flashy player. He's definitely not a running back. He's more of a tweener type guy. So Jamal Williams is a running back. There's no doubt about that. So
Jamal Williams is a running back?
Yep.
That is really great analysis.
I know. I mean, that's what you brought me in for, right?
Yes. No, this is why I chose to do the Friday preview with you. It has nothing to do with our schedules just lining up perfectly.
Right? Exactly. So, but for me, it's starting Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham, Jamal Williams to start off. And then the guy I'm most interested, I have no interest in Randall Cobb. I mean, I've fell for it before. I probably won't do it again. It's just the injury concerns for me. So Geronimo Allison.
This year, though.
I'm
more interested in Allison too, but like that's why I said, like, I want to see what the target share is. Cause for me, like, this is going to be really telling. In terms of, like, who Rodgers wants, because it comes down to who Rodgers wants to throw to. And, like, you know, he's played with Cobb for a long time. And so maybe he just wants, you know, he trusts them. If Allison has some bad drops early on, like, that could be the end of Allison.
Yeah, and they did draft a couple this year, so, but I do have interest in Allison. I have no interest in Cobb.
Okay. Last thing I'll say before we move on is to the Monday night games is that while you say Jamal Williams is interesting, I just want to point out that the Bears were the 10th best defense against the run in fantasy, against running backs in fantasy last year, and they added they've added to that defense. So, and then they play...
Who'd they add again? I can't remember. Yeah,
Khalil Mack.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, they added him. they also... the Packers also play the Minnesota Vikings, who were the best team against the run last year, next week. So, the 2 weeks that Aaron Jones are suspended are against two very good run defenses. So, I think if people are really stoked on Jamal Williams, they may... be very disappointed, and then they get to the Packers get to go play the Redskins in week three, who are atrocious against the run. So they're gonna get Aaron Jones back in week three. He's gonna go crazy because Williams and Montgomery have been disappointing, and he's just gonna steal that role. All right, the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 7.5-point favorites. Who you got?
Ooh, that's close. I'm going to take the Packers, but I'm not going to take the points. I think it's going to be a little bit closer.
Yeah, I'm taking the Packers and the points. I don't think it's going to be close at all. All right. Jets at the Lions on Monday night. It's the early Monday night game. Another one of these things I hate because the early game starts at 4 p.m. Pacific time, which is stupid for those people who, you know, work 9 to 5. Like, I don't work 9 to 5, so it doesn't, like, really matter to me. But I think for a lot of people, and it's a crappy game. Like, why are the Jets on Monday Night Football?
Right?
Like, the Jets are, like, don't get me wrong, I'm interested to watch Sam Darnold, but, you know, they could be easily the worst team in football this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of games that we've already covered that would fit this slot a lot better.
Yeah, just, I don't under... Like, I understand it, like, the, you know, the Jets are a big market team. The Lions are an interesting team this year, but this is going to be one of those games that I think gets out of hand very early on. And I just don't want to watch it on Monday night. Like, that's like, this is one of those games I want to be able to click away from.
Yeah, and unfortunately you can't. You can just kind of wait around till the main course of Monday night.
Which may not a game I want to click away from.
Yeah, whatever.
No, I won't, but.
yeah, I'm definitely interested to see what Darnold does. It's pretty surprising that they went to him to start off the season. I thought he would probably be another over-under type guy that we would talk about, but you know, they gave him the role, and everything in the preseason and from camp is he's ready for it. So the one thing that I do have question marks on is, you know, which running back are they going to lean on? They have Crowell, they have Powell. Yeah, I mean,
it may be a split, honestly. I mean, but do you care? Like, honestly, if one guy had the role to himself, would you care that much?
It depends on how good Darnold is. I mean, obviously, that's a cop-out, but we've seen flashes from Powell. We've seen flashes from Crowell. We've never seen a full season.
It's a bad offensive line with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but... I mean, there's people out there without Le'Veon Bell. There's people out there that don't want to play the Penny Carson type conundrum. So, there's always
would you rather have Connor or would you rather have a full workload from Crowell or Pell?
This week or the season?
For the season.
Probably one of the Jets running backs because, like you said, Le'Veon Bell could come back next week. It's a bad...
Just the fact I'm thinking about this tells you how little I think of the Jets running backs.
Right. And then, of course, their wide receivers, they have that same thing. Is it Robbie Anderson? Is it Terrell Pryor? Is it Quincy Enunwa? I mean, there's not a lot of guys for fantasy on their team. I think maybe
Anderson's the dude until he gets suspended.
Yeah, he's the guy that I went after in drafts just because of what he showed last year. But I think... at the end of the season, the best guy on this offense to own might be Sam Darnold. he might just be able to get the most out of these crappy guys and, you know, become relevant in like a two quarterback league or a super flex league.
I think you're right. From the Lions' perspective, I want to see what the rotation and target share looks like in the wide receiver core, and I want to see what the share is out of the running backs. Is Kerryon Johnson going to get carries early on, or is it going to be a LeGarrette Blount situation to start the year until they realize he's old and not very good anymore?
Yeah, and then they also still have Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick. So it's a very – it's one of the reasons Abdullah I stayed sucks. Away. Yeah, he does, but he's still there. And
he's
that
only
says
– he's only there to return kicks.
Until he breaks off an 80-yard run, and then they try and give him some more runs. No. I mean, it's going to happen.
He can't – I mean, that's the big knock on Abdullah is, and it's been his knock since college. Like, dude cannot stop putting the ball on the ground. So, like, you know, when you've got a guy like – you know, LeGarrette Blount is not good by any stretch of the imagination, but he doesn't fumble.
Yeah, he's consistent. Yes. That's what he is.
Yeah, when he gets stoned, he really concentrates on holding the ball.
Yeah, and then that's one of the reasons I stayed away from that situation, just because Kerryon Johnson wasn't the best running back in the class. He does have some flaws. And the fact that they have Theo Riddick for the passing down back, the fact that LeGarrette Blount might just take the first and second round or first and second down runs. So where does that factor in Johnson unless Blount, you know, is not productive? So I'm with you on the wide receivers. I'm curious to see how bad Galladay is because we have a bet and Marvin Jones is going to win for me. I mean, it's going to be Golden Tate. He's
I can't
be
remember
the,
what the bet
the
is.
One.
It was the bet, just Galladay versus Jones,
yep.
Straight up.
Yep, straight up, yep. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how that kind of plays out, what the target share is.
That was a really bad bet I made.
But yeah, I know, really
I'm standing
is.
By it. I'm standing by it. Kenny Galladay is my dude.
You're going to take your second loss already with Darbo. I mean, Darbo's already cut. What?
What was that bet? What was that bet? I can't even remember.
Well, you said he was going to be a sleeper, and now he's not even on the team. He's sleeping somewhere.
Well, that's, you know, definition of a sleeper. I'm right? hoping to be a sleeper after this podcast. So, New York Jets at the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 6.5-point favorites on Monday Night Football. Who you got?
I don't care the point spread. It's Detroit. They're going to cover.
Yeah, I said Lions 31-12. So, all right, last game.
Best for last. Best for last. Yeah.
The Los Angeles Rams versus the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, Vegas. It's actually the John Gruden Raiders.
Yeah. It's the stadium to be determined later Raiders. Okay. Here's a little bit of trivia for you as a Raider fan. The last time the Rams and the Raiders played was on November 30th, 2014. Do you remember what the score was?
Oh god. 2014, we definitely lost.
Mhm.
Probably 35-10.
52-0.
Okay, that was close.
Oh yeah, that was a fun thing to research. But what are you looking forward to in this game?
Fantasy wise, I'll stick fantasy. I'll take my fandom out. On the Rams side, it's going to be Gurley. We already know that. I'm wanting to see how they incorporate Cooks in this offense. A lot of people were taking Robert Woods over him. I saw Cooks falling so much in the draft that it was just too appealing to not take him. So I have a few shares, but it's not like I invested a lot. But they did sign him to a contract. He's still only 24 years old. He's been productive with two great quarterbacks. So I want to see how they use him, how much he's going to get playing time, and how much of a factor in this offense he's going to be.
Yeah, I think that is, the question becomes with Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp, like, where's the target share going to be? Cooks can be a dynamic player for them, but they're not going to throw as much as New England did. How much does that hurt his overall value, especially when you've got other guys to throw to in this offense? So I'm interested to see what the target share is going to be like and if Jared Goff takes a step forward. Sean McVay is a quarterback whisperer, and so if anybody is going to turn Goff into an elite quarterback, it's going to be Sean McVay. I just, you know, we saw improvements last year. We need to see more improvements this year if the Rams are going to take that next step.
Yeah, I think in this game it's going to be the Gurley show. They don't really have a reason to throw because they're going to be up in this game. I'm not naive to that. So I think Gurley, I'm paying up for him in DFS. I mean, there's no question about it.
Over under 5 wins for the Raiders.
I'm going to do over. I think it's going to be a rough start.
Because this is going to be a rough game.
Yeah, this is going to be a rough game. I'm already anticipating it. I mean, Derek Carr is a definite sit for me. This defense on the Rams is legit. Go pick them up, stream them, whatever you have to do. I mean, they're not available.
They're like the third defense off the board.
Yeah, they were great last year, and then they added Peters, they added Sue. That's just to name a couple. Mm-hmm. I mean, this defense is going to be legit. So I'm sitting Marshawn Lynch. He's not even close to being in a flex consideration for me. I think you have to start Amari Cooper.
No, just I think you've got to start Marshawn Lynch.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to run the ball.
They're going to see Aaron Donald and Sue right whenever they snap the ball. I understand that,
but all they're going to do is run this ball. Like, they're not going to throw.
They're going to be behind. So why would they run it?
Because it's John Gruden. John Gruden don't care about score.
Let's do a bet. We saved the bet for the last game on our preview. Okay. What do you want to do for Lynch? Do you want him to be a top 20 running back? Because I'm gonna take out of the top 20.
Well, let's see. We usually talk about 12 team league, so I say he is a top 24 running back this week.
And I say he's not a top 24 running back this week.
Okay, I think that's fair. So
now he'll get 2 garbage touchdowns at the 1 yard line, but that's fine.
That's all it takes. So I do have the Rams winning this one 27-7. So, Rams versus the Raiders. It says, I think the Rams are 4.5 point favorites.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'll take the Rams and the points. Just like you, I'm not naive, even though it's my fantasy team or my real life team.
All right. Before we wrap up, Super Bowl predictions. Who you got playing? Who you have winning?
Ooh, you know, I think the NFC is a little bit more crowded this year. I do think that it's either going to be the Vikings and the New Orleans Saints, like it was last year in the playoffs. But they're going to reach it. They're going to make it to the NFC Championship game, and I think the Saints are going to win it. So they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, and they are going to be playing up against. Oh, I mean, this AFC is hard. Whew, I have to go with New England. I mean, there's no other way that I could take another team until I see it, you know, halfway through the season. If it looks a little bit bad, then, I mean, Jacksonville could be there, but I'm going to go with New England against New Orleans and New Orleans winning.
I am going to stick by what I think would be the funniest matchup. and that would be 2 defensive powerhouses in the Rams versus the Jaguars.
Okay.
I think that, like I said, the Jaguars have the chance to have just a truly special defense, and I think they've got enough on offense to you know, keep them in games, and I think that defense will help win them games. They came close to getting there last year, and I think this is the year that they go over the top. The Rams have a fantastic defense and enough offensive weapons to compete with teams, you know, in shootouts. So I think the Rams come out of the NFC, and I say the Rams win the Super Bowl.
Wow. Oh, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. They don't even have a stadium yet, and they're going to go win the Super Bowl. Maybe they'll move back to St. Louis.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate thing. Okay, we won a Super Bowl over here. We're going to go back now.
All right, Colin, the great episode. First week one preview. Want to remind people where you can reach on social media?
You can find me at CWeatherWax13.
And you got anything else coming up other than just doing this with me every week?
No, just doing this. Still wrapping up the end of the baseball season. Still got, you know, 3 weeks left of that. I'm really competing in my main league. I'm in second place right now and top player. It has a little bit of a lead on me, but I got to hunker down and try and get to that top spot to make a little bit of money this year.
There you go. Good luck with that. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Let's see. You could read my football stuff's over at Fantasy Alarm this year, baseball stuff at FanGraphs, and then, you know, baseball and football stuff, including podcasts and written work and ranks over on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. And yeah, that's going to do it. For me and Colin, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.